Revelation. Everything new. If you read the book of Revelation, you find that right through, God is looking to do something new. And at the end, we all know the answer at the end. If you read the last chapter of Revelation, the answer is there. But this chapter, chapter 18, deals with the doom of Babylon. We live in a world, you and I, that is becoming progressively polarized. Would that be a fair statement? Yeah, five people agree with me. The level of public debate today is primarily people yelling their opinions at each other rather than rational, thoughtful discussion. Right? Good. By the way, I'm not preaching. You're helping me. Chapter 18 presents various warnings for all people to separate themselves from the kingdom of Satan. I hope someday we'll do a series here, Pastor Rod, on the two kingdoms in this world, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Everything is polarized into those two. And even some of people who claim to be the followers of Jesus will one day find they're on the wrong side, in the wrong kingdom. It's not my words, it's God's word. Heaven's view and the world's view. So important. They are poles apart, and we as God's people have to decide where we stand. There's no middle ground. Babylon is recorded 287 times in Scripture. Go check it out and underline it in your Bibles. More than any other city apart from Jerusalem. And I wonder why. The contrast there, Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon's fall was announced in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. And again in chapter 16 and verse 19, which some of our wonderful preachers have been bringing to us. The fall of Babylon is carefully detailed in these two chapters, chapter 17 and chapter 18. And what a great job Pastor Rod did last week, didn't he? Oh, my dear. Only one person said amen. By the way, you can talk in church. Someone said, don't interrupt the preacher. No, don't. Just spur him on. Under the rule, under this chapter, these two chapters show us that the world is under the rule of the Antichrist. There is the spirit of the Antichrist rising up everywhere, right around the world. Queens ruling them. Not, I don't mean the actual queens, but there are people with big voices today ruling different things. And a lot of queens are rising up too. Filled with blasphemy in many cases. Saints are hated and killed. We don't hear about it. But right now, we hear about the numbers of those who are dying because of the virus, but we don't hear about the numbers of those who are dying because they're killed because of their faith in Jesus. It would be nice to bring up some of those statistics. Don't you agree? Both are associates with kings in fornication. Both are under judgment and are destroyed. There are significant differences between chapter 17 and chapter 18. Religious Babylon in 17, commercial Babylon in chapter 18. Mystery Babylon in 17, Great Babylon in 18. Symbol of a prostitute in 17, Great City in 18. Identified with Rome in 17, identified with a port city in 18. A woman, whore, and mother. Habitation, great city, marketplace in 18. Destroyed by a political power that previously supported her, but here destroyed in 18, destroyed by God as an act of God. So I just run through all that in contrast. And I want to, Marge and I are doing a daily devotion together every morning. And we're reading through John Stott again. We did it some years ago and we're doing it again this time. And his book entitled Reflections from Genesis to Revelation. Throughout Scripture, this is what he says in the other reading the other day. Throughout Scripture, Babylon represents that proud insolence that the Greeks called hubris. It is the very essence of sin. Wow, the concentration, the essence of sin. And John Stott did that. It's the daily devotion, daily reflections. But then we go on and we read in this chapter, in verses 1 through 8, the economic doom that is announced. You know, we've just been going through some economic problems, not just in our nation, but all around the world. But chapter 18 is very clear on what's going to happen economically around the world. And in verses 1 to 3, we notice that it's by an angel from heaven. It's announced by an angel from heaven. When we hear this in Scripture, many people don't want to read Revelation. They say it's too hard. For me, it's not too hard at all. You just have to keep on reading it again and again and read it in context of the rest of the Bible. Then you'll begin to understand it. John spots another angel here in verse 1. And this angel, remember, I remind you again, when we started, we said John is having a vision. And God is revealing to John the beginning from the end and all that's in between. So that we must not forget about that. And John is now looking at another angel. He spots an angel coming down from heaven. And this is what the angel says. After all this law, I saw another angel, he says, come down from heaven with great authority, and the earth grew bright with its splendor. He gave a mighty shout. I was half expecting to ask everyone here to shout as loud as you can. Could we try that, Pastor Rod? Sure, I got permission. Let's do it. I want you to shout, just a big, mighty shout, everyone, on the count of 1, 2, 3. No, the angel was louder than that. The angel was louder than that. Because I don't think the people at the end of the car park heard you. But when the angel shouted, John said, the world heard it. The angel shouted with a booming voice. If I asked you to shout again, I'm sure it'll get louder. Babylon is, this is what they shout, the angel shouted. Babylon is fallen. The great city is fallen. Remember, I said there's a clear demarcation. If you want to look at Babylon as the city of sin, then you look at Jerusalem as the city of God. And there's two distinctions. The world is divided into two right now. And it's becoming more obvious for us to see that happening. And the angel said, Babylon, the city of sin, just not no boundaries at the moment, it's happening everywhere, is fallen. The great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. With the way things are going, this is beginning to develop. The dwelling place of demons. When we begin to open up to the kingdom of Satan, when we allow Satan to rule and reign in certain ways in our lives, we are opening up the door to demons taking control. If you don't believe in demons, the other night we were talking about it, and someone said, oh, I didn't realize you believed it. I said, I believe everything that's in the Scripture. I believe it, that settles it, let's do it. Let's believe it. Keep moving on. She has become a home for demons. She is a hideout for every foul spirit, a hideout for every foul vulture and every foul and dreadful animal. This is Scripture. Verse 3 says, for all the nations have fallen with her, Babylon. As we look at it now, I'm sure it's a depressing picture for many of us. And you must be saying, why are you so excited about it? Because my eye is on the clouds, not on the world. Because there's someone coming and I'm looking for him. Not at what's happening here. By the way, how many of you can say, you can count on me being here in the next 50 years? Put your hands up. Look at that, not one. Not one. Because of the wine of her passionate immorality. Immorality is gripping our world today in very subtle ways. Among the younger generation, among the older generation too. It's right across. And I don't have time to elaborate on that, but it's true. The kings of this world have committed adultery. They have sold their souls to follow the trend rather than to stand up for God. The church is failing today to stand up for their God. This is what the scripture is talking about here. That's what John is seeing happening in our world. John saw it before it happened. He didn't see it today. But you and I can. The kings of this world have committed adultery with her because of her. Because of her desires for extravagant luxury, the merchants of the world have grown rich. That's what everyone's doing. There's economics is something. How many bitcoins have you got in your account? Someone asked me the other day. I said, I don't even have a coin in my pocket. No, I don't believe in bitcoins. Now we all believe in the plastic, isn't it? Yeah. Let's move on. In verses 4 to 8, John hears another voice. And this voice is calling out from heaven. Let's listen to what it says. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven, come away from her, my people. This is a call from heaven, calling his people today. And I trust that we will hear that voice loud and clear today that John heard on the Isle of Patmos many hundreds of years ago. And we will hear those voices saying, come away from her, my people. Take no part in her sins. It's time for the church. It's time for God's people to stand up today and say sin is sin. Not because we believe this is our doctrine. Because God said it is. If God calls it a sin, we should not be dabbling in it, regardless of what color you paint it. For her sins are piled up as high as the heavens, and God remembers her evil deeds. Every sin is recorded. God can see us. You know, we can dress up. You can look at me and say, oh, what a wonderful person. But God sees my heart. He knows who I am. Thank you. That's right. I believe that. You know, we can deceive others around us, our families, our loved ones, our leaders, or whatever. But you cannot fool God. And this is what John is hearing. Do to her as she has done to others. Double her penalty for all her evil deeds. She brewed a cup of terror for others. So brew twice as much for her. And it goes on right through there. And it's terrible. But when we come to verse 8, it says, therefore, these plagues will overtake her in a single day. Judgment of God, the disaster of God is coming. You know, as this pandemic took over last year, and as we were preparing, Pastor Rod and I and other preachers were looking at these passages, some were fearful to embark upon it. But I love it because it's preparing God's people for the future, for the present, and for what is to come. And if we're not preparing ourselves, we are just fooling ourselves that it's going to get better. No, my friends, it'll only get better when the Prince of Peace stands on this earth again. Will not get better. Jesus himself said, if you're reading your Gospels, leave alone reading Revelation, if you're reading the Gospels, Jesus said, when they say peace and safety, look up. There's no peace and safety, but for the Prince of Peace. Death and mourning and famine will take over. She will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. What kind of a God are we worshiping today? A mighty. Thank you, Kyle. That was a beautiful song. Beautiful song. A mighty fortress is our God. I cannot help it when I sing that, but to say, a mighty fortress is my God. I can trust in him. He will never let me go. God's calling his people today to have nothing to do with Babylon. Nothing to do with anything that is sinful. Anything. And you know it in your heart, and the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you if you trust him. God is calling for judgment upon Babylon, but I believe he's calling for judgment on his people today. We are being tried like we are going through the fire, as Peter says so. And those who are tried by the fire will come through as gold tried in the fire. Every time you face something, don't grumble. Don't complain. Say, what are you teaching me, Lord? What do I need to learn? Verses 9 through 20, God's judgment now is revealed upon Babylon. Very clear. You can read those verses there. God's people are called to be divorced from Babylon and rejoice in God's justice. It was my joy and privilege a couple of weeks ago when one of our members called me and said, would you visit someone who's not part of our church? I said, sure. Doesn't have to be part of our church. I'll visit anyone. The end result was to see him lying on his bed there as I talked with him. He said, what do I need to do? I said, talk to Jesus. I don't know how to pray. I said, you do, because you talk to me, don't you? The same thing. Now you talk to him. Tell him all that's on your heart. My friends, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One more. Yes, that's what happened in heaven. They didn't just clap their hands in heaven. They danced around. They said, one more for our kingdom. It's the greatest joy for me to see someone brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. God will judge not only the evil and the evil practices, but he will also judge the corrupt marketplace and leave it desolate, according to this chapter, in verses 9 through 20. It'll be desolate. The market will go down. You're looking for a market crash? It's going to keep on crashing. Don't build your hopes on the market here. Build your hopes on your kingdom there. Save up there for there. You know, Pastor Rod just said, if you want to give to the Lord, how many of us owe the Lord a lot of money? No, I'm not going to check on you. It's between you and God. It's up to you. If you're holding back what belongs to God, then we have to answer one person, and that's God. God calls his people out of a society contaminated with the practices of trade. I've been in the business when I was younger, serving, and I remember coming to a point where I had to make a decision to do what's right in God's sight, or to go along with what the company wanted me to do. Guess what I chose? I was only a teenager, but I lost my job because of it. And God has never let me down, because I stood for what is right in his sight. My friends, it's time for God's people, verses 9 to 20 says, to be separated from the world, not to compromise. Do not compromise. Verses 9 and 10 talks about global aristocracy that will start grieving in our world. It's beginning to happen. Global economic crash, verses 11 through 17. The first part of verse 17, it's happening. Global trade and travel on land and sea will cease. Well, John said that. How long ago? Did we ever think that there'll be no planes in the air? Did we ever think that there'll be no more cruises? Come on, all you people who cruise around. If you read Revelation, you'll know it was going to stop one day. It happened. Verses 17 to 19. But this says it's not going to stop and then try to start up again. It's going to cease. So you better make the best of your travel now. Verse 4. The fourth thing from that is verse 20. But not for God's people. That's hope. Not for God's people. Not for his apostles and his prophets. Verse 20 says, God's people should rejoice. God's people should rejoice that they did not depend upon the destiny of a man-made world system, but depended on the living God. What kind of a God do you serve? Who is your God? How big is your God? I used to sing a song many years ago. I haven't sung it for a long time. My God is big. He holds the universe in his hand. But he's so small that he can live in my heart. Is that your God? Let's not depend on this world's systems for everything. Let's not depend on the funds of this world. It's only a false belief system that will come to an end. And in verses 21 through 24, you see the fall of a corrupted system which is justified. I'm going to read these verses. You could read the rest for the Sunday afternoon's lesson at home. Verse 21 says, then a mighty angel, wow, how big was that angel, picked up a boulder the size of a huge millstone. We've got some strong people in this church, but this angel beats them all. He threw it into the ocean and shouted again, just like this, the great city Babylon will be thrown down with violence and will never be found again. Will never be found again. The city of Babylon is equated to those, the kingdom of Satan. The city of Babylon is not just a city, but it's the company who belong to the kingdom of Satan. And the angel will pick that city up, those people up, and throw them. That's what is going to happen. It'll never be found again. The sound of harps singing, singers, flutes, and trumpets will never be heard in you again in that city, among those people. Well, there's a lot of music going on today, and they cover up all those things with the dancing and music. Marge and I were somewhere recently, and we saw people dancing. And I said, they don't dance like that in the church. What are they dancing for? Nothing, just the music. I'm glad that there's one in the music team that does do dance here. Yeah, you people on, you, someone from there pointed it out to me. And I said, praise the Lord, there's someone in our church who dances. Yeah, it's in scripture, you can do it. The sound of harps will all cease. No craftsmen and no traders will ever be found in you again. The sound of the mill will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. When God's rule and judgment comes upon evil in this world, that will be it. It will be darkness. It will be cut out. That will be the end. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The happy voices of brides and grooms will never be heard in you again. For your merchants were the greatest in the world, and you deceived the nations with your sorceries. Verse 24. In your streets flowed the blood of the prophets and God's holy people, and the people and the blood of people slaughtered all over the world. The screws are being tightened today by Satan's kingdom upon, they think they're screwing it up on the kingdom of God. It's impossible to screw up the kingdom of God. Because his kingdom will reign forever and ever and ever. And how long is forever? Forever and ever. Amen. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God we must serve. Verses 18, 21 to 23. The arts, the entertainment world will no longer have an audience. Due to the lack of supply and demand, there will be no more employment. Hallelujah, someone's saying. No more flashy homes and porch lights burning right through the night, or living rooms lit up and families being amused in the... It'll all be over one day. And John is saying, it's coming to an end. We are moving closer. And you've heard me say this many times. I'll say it one more time. We are closer to the time of Jesus' coming than when John wrote this. Amen? I close with the last verse. God gives us everything we need to live. Not what we want, but what we need. God wants us to live productive lives with what He's given us, without worldly compromise. Do not compromise your soul for the things of this world. Their effectiveness for God's design is not selfish living for pleasure, but living committed to God. The city of sensuality leads the whole world away from God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, because sin always sells. Let me say this, and I quote Dr. Billy Graham, a great man of God, a great saint of God, who said these words: yesterday's immorality is today's new morality. May God's people never be found acknowledging that as truth and fact, but to stand for the truth. When God says it, we believe it. That settles it. Let's do it. Father God, help us to take this word to our hearts today. Help us to hear your voice through it, not mine. Help us to look again and check our own lives and see where we stand in your sight today. It doesn't matter who we are or what we claim. It's who you believe we are that matters. And I pray that if someone of us here needs to make an adjustment of our lives, may we be bold enough and brave enough to be able to do that for your glory. And may we look forward to the coming day when you will reign and rule supreme over every nation. In Jesus' name, amen.